I'd like to ask you tonight, if you will, to please turn in your Bibles to the book of Psalms. I'd like to read from Psalm 127. Psalm 127. 127th Psalm and the first verse. Before we begin to endeavor to read, I ask you to join your hearts together with me in another moment of prayer. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we need Thee every hour. We know that we cannot draw the next breath without Thy blessings upon us. We need Your help, and we pray that You would help and bless as Thou alone art able to do. We pray, Lord, that as we begin to study Thy holy word, that Thou would be our teacher, that Thou would guide us and direct us into that portion of Thy word that Thou would have us to hear and to understand. We pray that You would give us understanding. I ask You to loose my tongue, give me a ready turn of thought, and bless us to clearly hear the word of God. We pray again now for all those who are sick and afflicted. We pray especially for Sister Donna Wheeler, that You would bless her, that You would touch her as You alone are able to do, and that You would bless the doctors with the wisdom that they need, that You would guide them in every decision that she and her family makes and that the doctors make. We pray that You would give them wisdom that can come only from Thee. Continue to bless all the others who have cancer. Bless Sister Michelle Street in a very special way, be with her and all the others that with cancer. Bless Brother Mike as he has his surgery on Wednesday. Be with all the others who stand in special need of Thy help. Lord, touch those that have other back problems and other kinds of problems. Be with them and give them good reports from the doctors and bless them to soon be feeling much better. You know the needs of every person here tonight. You know the burdens. You know the problems that each person has. We ask You to bless each individual. Bless us, Lord, not according to what we deserve, but according to Thy mercy and Thy grace. We need Your help in every way. So bless us now and teach us, we pray in the blessed and holy name of our elder brother, our Lord, and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The 127th Psalm and first verse, I'm sure that you know it by heart. The Word of God says, except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh but in vain. There are two different illustrations that are given here, and yet they are very similar. First of all, he says that except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Who is it that does the building of the house? Doesn't matter. As you think about the word house, it can represent your own personal life. The Word of God compares your body to a house. So it can talk about your personal life as you build your life. It can talk about your family and your home as you build that house. It can talk about the house of God, the people of God as they come together in the house of God. Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. There is building that we do in all of those situations. There's building that we do, yet the Word of God here is not emphasizing the work that we do, but it's rather emphasizing that unless the Lord does the building while we're building, then all of our efforts and labors are in vain. We cannot overemphasize our dependence upon God in all that we do. And as we're doing all the different building and all the different works that we do in our lives, we need to ask for the Lord to help us and to bless us in all that we do. Doesn't matter whether you're talking again about your family or the church work, everything that we do, we need the Lord's help. Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. There is labor that we do in building each of the houses that I've already mentioned. There's labor that we do as God's people. And there is labor that God does in all of that building. I think it's probably illustrated in the New Testament most clearly in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Turn in your Bibles, please, to 1 Corinthians chapter 3 to see the illustration that's given here in the Old Testament. That same illustration is given in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 as the Apostle Paul writes to the church of God at Corinth, and he tells them that we are laborers. We are laborers. Remember now, the text is in Psalm 127:1 says, except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. We're first going to look at that first half of Psalm 127 and then try to look at the second half. Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Looking at 1 Corinthians chapter 3, starting in verse 9, looking at verses 9 through 13. Listen to how the Word of God shows both us laboring and it shows God laboring. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, starting in verse 9, the Word of God says, "For we are laborers together with God." Brethren, in all this building, except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. That's the people's labor. All of their labor is in vain unless the Lord blesses that labor. Now the Word of God says that we are laborers, that is all the people of God that are working together, we are laborers together with God. You're God's husbandry. You're God's building. According to the grace of God which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation. Now, was the Apostle Paul calling himself a wise master builder? He was. He wasn't bragging. He's just declaring that as he follows instructions from God, God is, if you think about building, usually you're going to have a general contractor and you're going to have an architect. You're going to have people that oversee the all of the building that's done. Well, brethren, God is the general contractor and the architect. He is the overseer. He is the foreman. He is everything that is ruling all this building that's going on. And he says, Paul says, "I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon, but let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ." Brethren, a wise master builder, Jesus made this plain in Matthew 7:24-27, a wise master builder is going to have a firm foundation. And that's what the Apostle Paul says here. He says, "I'm a wise master builder, and I have laid the foundation, and there is no foundation other than Jesus Christ." It doesn't matter, brethren, what church you go to or what people you associate yourself with. If Jesus Christ is not the center and the foundation and the head, if he's not all in all, if Jesus Christ is not the focus, then you're in the wrong place. Paul says, "Yeah, I'm a wise master builder." But is he saying that he also has God helping him in all of this work that he does? Indeed, he is. We need God's help. I'm going to ask you, who builds the church, the people or God? Who builds the church, the people or God? Who builds the family? Who builds the home, the people or God? Who builds your personal life? And you should be building in your life. But who builds your life? You or God? Which one? It is both. I believe with all of my heart that it's both. Remember that you can do no building that is of any value unless God is helping you and working with you and you're laboring with God. And you have to follow God's word and you have to follow God's way. You can do a lot of building without God's help, and the house will fall. That's the example that Jesus gave there, that a foolish man, he builds his house upon the sand, and the winds and the floods and all come and beat upon that house, and it falls, and great is the fall thereof. All the labor that that man did, it was all in vain because it was not founded upon a rock. The people of God must, in your personal lives, in your family, and in the church, we must be built on the solid rock of Jesus Christ. Jesus makes this statement in Matthew 16:18. Now, I know that sometimes it seems like we're being sacrilegious or we're giving too much glory to man when we say that man has anything to do with the building in the church. But I want you to know that that is, you're contradicting part of God's word when you deny that God uses us in building in all kinds of ways. We're dependent on God, but we do have building and work that we're supposed to be doing. Jesus makes this statement in Matthew 16 and verse 18. He says, upon this rock I will build my church. Now, who is emphasized there as the builder in Matthew 16, 18? Who is emphasized as the builder there? Jesus is emphasized as the builder. And yet, when we look at 1 Corinthians 3 and many other scriptures, we find that there is building that we do, but all of our building, what's the emphasis in the text in Psalm 127, 1? What's the emphasis? Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. You remember in the book of Acts, Acts chapter 2, let's think about the building of the early church. Go forward in your Bibles to Acts, look backward from where we are right now. Look at Acts chapter 2, and I want you to think about on the day of Pentecost, when Peter was preaching there, was Peter working that day? When Peter was preaching, was he working? Was he laboring? Yes, he was. The Word of God repeatedly talks about how those that preach the gospel, they're laboring in the Word. They study and they prepare, and getting up to preach the Word of God, it takes a tremendous amount of effort and labor and work. But did you know that all my preaching is in vain unless the Lord builds the house? I can't build a church, not that's going to stand. I can't work and do any building that is of any value at all unless God is doing the work. When Peter was preaching on the day of Pentecost, he was laboring, and he was building, and he was teaching. He was instructing the people that that same Jesus that you crucified, God has made him both Lord and Christ. And the next verse after that, in verse 37, Acts 2 and verse 37, the scripture says, now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart. Now I want to ask you this question. What caused them to be pricked in their heart when he spoke those words? Is there a different reaction than they could have had when he told them that you have crucified Jesus Christ? If he had been building on his own and the Lord had not been building with him as he spoke those words and as he preached those words, they would have done nothing other than to kill him and just be mad at him. But when he preached, the Lord was working with him to build up those people and to establish the church. And so the Lord is the one that pricked the hearts. Peter spoke the words, but the words are nothing but dead words unless the Spirit of God breathes life into those words. And the words meant something to the people, and the people were pricked in their hearts because of the work of the Holy Spirit. Was Peter working? Were there other people that were working that day? Indeed, there were. But except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. You come down to verse 47. You will again in verse 47 see that the Word of God is emphasizing the power and the work of God in building the church. In Acts chapter 2 and verse 47, the Word of God says that the people were praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Now who was it that was adding to the church? Was Peter preaching? Were all these other apostles preaching? Were they baptizing? Did they all have different works to do? Does the book of Ephesians chapter 4 tell us that God has ordained different offices and gifts and works in the church, and that all these works, under the direction and blessings of God, they're all necessary for the building of the church? But who is the main builder? What do we have to remember as we're doing all this work? We must always remember every day, except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Go with me to, let's think about the second half of the text in Psalms 127 and verse 1. The second half of that verse says, except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh but in vain. Now, we're shifting from thinking of us being as workers. Now we begin to think about us being watchmen. Now, a watchman was somebody that would get up, and they had watchmen all during the night. There would be watchmen for the first 3 hours. There would be a watchman for the next 3 hours. They had watchmen for the different shifts of the night. And they would watch for about 3 hours at a time. And those watchmen would be looking for trouble and looking for the enemy that might be coming in. And if the watchman saw the enemy coming, he was to shout and give warning to the people. Did you know that God still has watchmen today? God has established that His people, He calls men to be watchmen upon the wall, to watch the people, to watch over the people, and to guard the people, and to warn the people when the enemy is attacking either individually or the enemy is attacking the body. There are watchmen that God has ordained that they're to shout warnings to the people. They're watchmen. But except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh but in vain. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman can shout and warn all that they want to, but the city is still going to be destroyed unless the Lord keep the city. The watchman can't keep the city, but the Lord can keep the city. Back up in your Bibles to Isaiah chapter 56 very quickly. Isaiah chapter 56. How do you feel about watchmen? Are there a lot of different kinds of watchmen? Are there a lot of different kinds of people on every job that you can think about? John used to work for UPS. Were there a lot of different kinds of workers there? What did you do with sorry workers? What if they wouldn't correct themselves? If you couldn't correct them, what would you have to do? Okay, what would you eventually have to do? See, I'm of the old school that don't do it right, you get two warnings, boom, you're gone. Now you've got all these laws of the land, you've got to do this. You know, all I thought you were going to do was say, you know, if it doesn't work, you just fire him. You can't do that in many businesses today. But brethren, it ought to be that way that if a man's not going to do what's right and you've warned him and you've worked with him and he's not trying to do better, that you just let him go. Watchmen. There are sorry watchmen today. There were sorry watchmen in the days of Isaiah. Look in your Bibles at Isaiah chapter 56. Listen, Isaiah 56 beginning in verse 9. God is calling for the enemy to come in and to destroy the people. And the reason that God is calling for the enemy to come in and destroy the people is because the people have rebelled against God and have turned their backs on God. And as they have turned their backs on God and rebelled against Him, God calls for the enemy to come in, and He calls the enemy beasts of the field to come in and to destroy the people. In Isaiah 56, beginning in verse 9, the Word of God says, "All ye beasts of the field, come to devour, yea, all ye beasts in the forest. His watchmen are blind. They are all..." Now, you think about a watchman. What's he supposed to be doing? What's the first part of the word watchman? What's a watchman to be doing? He's supposed to be watching. Now, what in the world can you do with a blind watchman? How much value is a blind watchman? And that's the way God described His watchmen here. He says His watchmen are blind. They're all ignorant. They're all dumb dogs. Now, the word dumb here does not mean a lack of intelligence, but used to in the biblical times. And when I was young, someone would be called deaf and dumb. Deaf meant that they could not hear. Dumb meant that they could not speak. And that's the sense in which the word dumb is used here. He says they are all dumb dogs. Can you imagine having a dog that would not bark or could not bark, could not give warning? He says that's the kind of watchmen that were around right here in Isaiah 56. His watchmen are blind, they're ignorant, they're all dumb dogs, they cannot bark, sleeping, lying down, loving to slumber. The watchmen were of no value to the people, and the people were going in an ungodly way, and so God just calls for the beasts of the field to come in and devour the people. Beasts of the field here would in all likelihood have reference to other armies that would come in and destroy the people of God. What caused that? Well, one of the contributing factors were watchmen that did not warn the people about the sin that was in their lives. That's the primary function of watchmen in biblical times and today, is to warn the people of God about sin in their lives. Now, remember, except the Lord keep the city, the watchman, even though he might be awake and he might see the sword coming and he might sound warning and he might shout and try to warn the people, except the Lord keep the city. I want you to know that the Word of God is telling us in Psalm 127 verse 1, it's telling us it doesn't matter how good a watchman you have, the glory cannot go to the watchman if the city is saved. Except the Lord keep the city. See, the emphasis and the power and the glory goes to God, not to the watchman. The same thing is true of the people that are out there building and doing all that they do. The glory must go to God and not to the people. We are laborers together with God. But except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. And except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh but in vain. Look now in Ezekiel chapter 3. Ezekiel chapter 3. God called Ezekiel to be a watchman. Now listen, brethren. God has called every one of you to be a watchman. God has called us to watch over one another for good. That's part of the responsibility of every child of God, is to watch over one another. Parents have the responsibility of watching their children and training up their children and bringing them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Husbands and wives are to watch over one another for good. The members and friends of the church are to watch over one another. You're supposed to be men and women and boys and girls. We're supposed to all be watchmen watching over one another. And when we see any go astray, that we would labor to try to restore that one, that the city and that the house and the individual might be saved. We need watchmen, don't we? We need watchmen. Ezekiel chapter 3, beginning in verse 17. Ezekiel chapter 3 and verse 17, the Word of God says, Son of man, I have made thee a watchman unto the house of Israel. Therefore hear the word of my mouth and give them what? Give them warning from me. When I say unto the wicked, thou shalt surely die, and thou givest him not warning, nor speakest to warn the wicked from his wicked way to save his life, the same wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at thine hand. What is God saying to this watchman? What is he telling them? He's saying, when I send the sword, when I send the famine, when I send the pestilence, when you see them sinning and you don't warn them, they're going to perish, but their blood will be on your head. You go home and read all of this chapter, Ezekiel 3, and also Ezekiel chapter 33, and you'll see that God is telling the watchman over and over that you must warn the people when you see them walking contrary to God's word and God's way. Why? What is the purpose of the watchman? What is the purpose of the watchman? Okay, to watch over them and ultimately to what? To save them, right? To save them. Everybody know what I mean by saving them? That's the purpose of the watchman, is to save God's people who are children of God, to save them from the error of their way, to watch over one another. Go with me to the New Testament in closing. Turn to Acts chapter 20, first of all. Was the Apostle Paul a watchman? Was he a builder? We went to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. We saw the Apostle Paul was a builder, didn't he? He said he was a wise master builder. Was the Apostle Paul also a watchman? Yes, he was. Look in your Bibles at Acts chapter 20, and you'll find that the Apostle Paul called the elders of the church at Ephesus together in Acts chapter 20, starting in verse 25. He says, And now behold, I know that ye all, among whom I have gone preaching the kingdom of God, shall see my face no more. Wherefore I take you to record this day that I am pure from the blood of all men. Now how does that tie in back there in Ezekiel? In Ezekiel, the Word of God says that when he spoke to the watchman and the watchman did not give warning to the people, then the blood of those people was going to be on the watchman's head. And Paul says here, I'm pure from the blood of all men. That is, I haven't failed to warn anybody. If he saw them going astray, he warned them. He spoke to them. He was a faithful watchman. He says in verse 27, "For I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God." Come down to verse 31. He says, "Therefore watch and remember," that is, he's telling these elders now, "watch and remember that by the space of 3 years I ceased not to warn everyone night and day with tears." Now, was the Apostle Paul a faithful watchman? Did he warn the people? Did he try to save the city of Ephesus? And did he try to save the church at Ephesus? He tried to the best of his ability, but what does the text back there say? "Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh, but in vain." He can do all the preaching and all the teaching and all the warning he wants to, but except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh, but in vain. I hope that God will help us all to realize how much we need God. We need God every day. We need God's help. Sister Tracy's been looking for a house. Did she need God's help? Been praying. Everybody's been praying. Sister Cheryl has been praying. And a lot of you have been praying for God to help her to find a house. Well, evidently, hopefully, the Lord has finally sent the house, and it is the 11th hour. All of us, brethren, we need God's help every day. And we need to realize that no matter what we ever do, no matter what we ever accomplish in our lives, if it wasn't for the Lord, we would have never been able to do anything. May God help us, is my prayer, for Christ's sake.